Welcome to the Midwest Scrubcast. I'm Emily Rastel, and I'll be your pilot for the party bus today. Joining us in the gunner slot? Oh my God. I just had like a brain fart.
Joining along with us is me. Hi.
Hello, Clint AC Face Houston.
Hi. Hello. And also joining along with us is Dan.
Well, hello there. And also joining along with us is Matt.
Do neither of us have a slot? Are we just kind of being here?
No, we are here. We are joining.
Okay.
You're Schrodinger's guest, podcast guest.
I'm always Schrodinger's podcast guest. Hello, everybody. I toss it back to Emily.
I would like to point out that I did not derail that intro in the slightest.
You just took it and passed it along. Yeah. And didn't at all, at any point, derail it.
You merely coasted along the lack of rails that had already been provided for you.
I mean, you omitted the part, you know, where you're talking about slots and stuff, but also somebody did that before you, so I don't even know what to say.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. The lack of rails had been pre-established before it even got
there. That's
fair. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So well, now you've derailed it by saying that you didn't derail it, but, you know, so well done with that. Apparently, he still has his bag of holding of endless derailers.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah.
All right, so welcome to the Star Wars RPG Part 2, the episode where we might actually talk about Star Wars RPG instead of electrolytes.
I mean,
well, we did say that next time we come back, Dan was going to update on how his electrolyting goes.
Yeah, that is true. It's going well.
Talk about that in excruciating detail. That'd be great.
Has it been orange juice? Okay.
And orange juice works for you. Great.
Mm-hmm. Great. So far, so good. One mm-hmm. glass of orange juice a day. No jerky muscles.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And I'm sure that's tastier than Gatorade.
It is. Yes. Mm-hmm. And weirdly, I also find, see, like, now you got me on this train of thought. This is not my fault. Strangely, drinking the orange juice, so this is currently my morning
He's
routine.
He's not making this any shorter.
No, this is currently the morning routine.
It's a long story short.
Yes, long story longer is how this is going. We get a smoothie first, mm-hmm. okay? Then
that's got fruit in it.
It does. Mm-hmm. It's I could go into the recipe if you would like. Yes. Mm-hmm. Then it's the glass of orange juice, number mm-hmm. two. Then it's the coffee. And I have found that somehow delaying the coffee until after the orange juice lets me get away with less sugar in the coffee and it still tastes good. Mm. I don't know what this is about. Probably there's science reasons for this.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what they are. But this is the thing that I found and I appreciate.
Bodies probably are like, I've already had enough sugar.
Yeah.
Orange juice does have sugar.
The orange juice you just had has a lot of sugar in it.
Has a lot of sugar in it. Could also be the acid in the orange juice is affecting your taste buds and, making it so that you're tasting the after things differently. Mm-hmm. The afterward things are just hitting different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now look at you being hip.
Yes, I know the lingo of the kids.
Oh, her hip.
She's okay. Slinging the lingo of the kids. Uh-huh.
Why are we talking about Emily's hip?
Not.
So.
So now that's
so thank you
way.
For the update, Dan.
Yes, of course.
Hey, see, that was only like 2 minutes. It was joke. All right, so. where did we leave off? We left off where...
Well, we talked about what...
The mechanics
of the game is, what we likes, what we dislikes, mostly what we dislikes, because that's just how we do here.
It's also easier to talk about things
it
you
is
dislike.
Talk about, yeah, it's easier to talk about the bad things of a game mechanics or like the rule book or whatever than it is to be like, oh, I like this thing.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things we like.
I really enjoy it.
Like,
don't have the... This is the game system that I played, so I can point out, oh, this is done okay to poorly. It's harder, like, I'm sure if I play D&D or Pathfinder
you would then have comparisons to be like, and I'd be like, I like the way they do this better.
This one does like, this better.
I feel like overall, I don't particularly love the system. But I really enjoy the story and the hanging out and the good times mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. we have fun together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like it could very well just as easily have been in a D20 system, but mm-hmm. this is the thing that we bought because mm-hmm. this is the thing that's current and available on shelves. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
This Indeed. Is what we're playing.
So here we is.
Here so we here is. We are. All right, so we talked about the game in general. Yeah. Did we introduce our characters?
No, we stopped before all of that.
Okay.
Well, we
totally stopped.
Spoiler! We introduced our characters and stuff. I just deleted all of that because it was like, eh. Uh-huh. We'll do all that in one single episode.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so back to character introduction.
So, yeah, introduce the characters and the story and all of that mm-hmm. is what we need to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, did we specify in the last episode that you're the DM? I assume we did, but
maybe we got there. I don't know. So, I am the GM of the campaign.
Clint, Dungeon Master Houston.
Yes. Originally, we started out with Dan.
Yep,
was going to do it, but then I started writing a story, and then we swapped over to me taking over. Or it was going
to
be.
The plan was always for me to just do an introductory.
That was my understanding.
Maybe it was always the plan. I don't remember.
I think very initially it was like, oh, Dan's going to, you know,
start
us off.
To try his hand at it. Yeah,
because I wanted to play the game.
Uh huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then, yeah, I started writing a story, and then after like two sessions, I then took over, and we swapped out.
Yeah. Yeah. So we started with an introductory, like, you know, module that was like pre-written, pre-written,
yeah. And then just launched from that into a story,
into
but, yeah,
a custom did. Campaign. But yeah, so Clint originally had a character very briefly, who is of. Only kind of in the story now because of course he's the
makes
GM.
Cameos now.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I make cameos with my with my own character. I try not to do that too much. Like I don't want to.
Yeah, he's only been in like.
Yeah, I don't
want to.
Right,
night,
and if
the
he's there, he's
it.
Usually not doing much.
Yeah.
He's in the background or he's just kind of hanging out. And we even got like most of the way through a combat once, and we were like, wait, is he involved? I'm like, no, he's hiding behind a box. We just forgot he was there.
Yeah,
but.
It's very easy to forget those kind of characters in role-playing games, like the sort of like extra player character, quote player characters that aren't really player characters. It's, I've always found those to be awkward and like difficult to keep track of.
Yeah,
like we've had that problem in our D&D group as well. Like anytime we get a, you know, we have a player character that's not actually a player, that's just, you know, a companion,
yeah.
I guess I should say, that's not actually a player character.
Well,
it just
was,
gets constantly forgotten.
In our D&D game, at one point, like, we were a party of six players, and I think we had, like, four follower people around us at one point, and, like, we just never even...
It was too much, and we never used them
because the DM would be sitting over there having to play four characters for them.
Yeah, that's insane.
So, just ignore them while they're in combat. That's how I'll...
Mm-hmm.
But anyways.
Anyway, sorry for the slight detour.
Sorry.
All of that to say that Clint has a character, and it's only mostly relevant in the sense of the original setup or the original
Setup kind of thing. Uh-huh, so it is a Kushiban race. It's like a little cat rabbit, and he's a little smuggler thief. And that's kind of his whole deal. He's a little drug addict.
Mm, yes, that's right.
And a little smart aleck, but
that's
about all he really is.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's not a whole bunch going on. Particularly like backstory wise, he was Emily's character's friend,
right.
And they together already worked for a hut and were part of a smuggling crew.
And they lost a pilot.
Yeah, the pre backstory was they lost the pilot of their ship, and that's how Matt's character got introduced into the
fold
of the group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we took that, played the first campaign thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, that was my character I'm running through.
Yeah. So he's got a a little drug-addled
little cat rabbit Kushiba.
A blue cat addicted to skooma.
Basically, yeah.
Yes, and his
fur is blue, like a dark blue.
Oh, okay.
Which may or may not come in handy later.
Okay. Yeah, my character, to perhaps no one's surprise, is a Wookiee. other than being, his character, his character's name is Kit. Other than being Kit's partner in crime, the Wookiee Rugwee, short
Wookiee Rugwee,
the Wookiee Rugwee, who has a very difficult to pronounce name and is often shorthanded to Rug. Is
it works on so many levels.
It does. Rug is a fighter and punches things a lot. Yep, is a class wise, I forget what the class is even called.
Hired gun.
There you go. Yeah. I was like, I don't even remember what it's my class is. My class is barbarian. My class is the equivalent of barbarian. I just keep getting more. Unlike most other characters and classes in the game, I just keep getting more health and more soak, more defense. Essentially,
more damage.
Yeah. And as someone who's not very good at actual role playing, my character does not have a lot of breadth and depth to it necessarily. I would say Rug is probably one of the most I won't even say do-gooding, but sort of morally, upright, yes. Most morally upright of the crew.
More paragon than renegade. More light side than dark.
Unlike,
she still rips arms off. Don't.
Don't
think she does.
Still very confrontational, but but outside of combat, Rug is is generally a light side character, I would say. Whereas other characters, one in particular is a little more than the chaos range. Bastion, that's Matt's character. Bastion is more like kind of outer rim grit,
pragmatist.
Pragmatism, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then
and then there is Vim.
Matt, go ahead and
So my guy's name is Bastion Niket. He's a
what was that last bit?
Niket.
I don't know if I've ever heard that. Have I heard that before?
You have.
You have. But it's not like you or the character remembers my first name either.
Question.
So. So that as a preview, that's something that Vib, his character, never remembers my character's name. Never says it correct, at least. Mm-hmm. So he's a Mandalorian. He doesn't have he's not wearing any Mandalorian armor. That's his race. He's from Terris, which some people might know from Knights of the Old Republic. He owes a debt and people are looking for him. So that's how he got in working for this hut, is because he was like, well, if I'm working for the hut will give me some protection. So I just kind of was hired on as a hired gun. That's not my class.
Indeed. Your class is gunslinger? Okay, yeah.
Gunslinger. Mm-hmm. And
you do sling them guns.
He throws down the pew-pews.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I shoot people. But, that's his thing. That was so, one of his, primary motivators is surviving. So, Emily was saying, and it was Bastion's definitely more pragmatist. He doesn't consider himself a good guy. He doesn't consider himself a bad guy. He just looks at, will this kill me? Or will this make my life, will this make my life longer? That's mm-hmm. kind of how he looks at it. He doesn't go out of his way to screw people over. But if he thinks it will make him survive, that's the choice that he will take. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Although he is starting to grow fond of his crewmates. starting to value them as opposed to just himself surviving. So, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's that's me and how I came across the group.
Mm-hmm. So my character is named Veb. He has a last name. I've forgotten it.
I didn't know if he did have a last name.
He does
honestly.
Have a last name.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
That
wasn't
name.
Aware.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. He is a Toydarian, a force sensitive Toydarian, in a bowler hat.
I was going to say, currently wearing a bowler hat.
That's very important. What to say about Veb? He thinks very highly of himself. He thinks that he is just a badass.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a coward. He very much like tries to, well, I don't even know if it's tries, but tends to kind of ride the line between light side and dark side, and which side he falls on really just kind of depends
on the situation. It seems a lot of it.
I feel like if you asked him, he would be like, yeah, I'm a good guy.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, like I said, he thinks very highly of himself.
Yeah, yeah.
He thinks that he is. He worked as a secretary at a bounty hunting office, and views himself as a bounty hunter, and
just doing clerical work. Yes. And he's like, I'm a bounty hunter.
Yeah, yeah. Like you know, people out and about ask him what he does. He will tell them, I am a bounty hunter. That is what I do. Yeah, he's so class. It's some kind of, I think it's Jedi mystic. Oh, he has no class. Yeah. So his career. It's technically career.
Yeah.
Yes. So his career, I think, is a Jedi mystic, if I recall correctly. Yeah. It's something along those lines.
Yeah.
So it's all stuff that is talking based. So like, I can rally my teammates and heal them and reduce their fatigue and increase fatigue on opponents and so on and so forth.
Yeah, he's our mage.
Mm-hmm.
We've largely mage. Used him mm-hmm. as our white mage, our healer. Mm-hmm.
With periodic fits of choking.
Yeah, yeah, every once in a while it gets
brain aneurysms.
Yeah. I think it's somewhat important to say, like, he's not like currently officially Jedi trained or anything like that. He's came across his powers during the first session.
Yeah, yeah. Part of the story has been Vib's exploration of his own newly discovered talents.
Yeah. So setting wise, we are playing in the Outer Rim. We're playing from the books of the Edge of the Empire books, except for Dan. He's playing out of the Force.
Force and Destiny.
Force and Destiny books, whatever. It doesn't matter. As we said before, you can interuse all of these books and the classes that are in those for any setting, as long as you can make it work. And so, yeah, so we're playing kind of an Outer Rim setting. Time-wise, it's after the Rebels series, but before A New Hope. So we're right there in that, like, you know, the war between, or the conflict between the Rebels and the Empire is brewing, but hasn't completely fully unleashed.
Right at the time that everybody's forgotten what Jedi are.
Right, but long enough that nobody knows what a Jedi is, apparently.
Yeah.
And the Empire is in full, you know, grip control of the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our setting. That's where we are. Yeah, I don't know. I guess we start with that first session that we played.
Because I don't remember anything that happened.
Talk our way along through. Yeah.
Tell me what happened.
Well, that first session was Dan DMing.
Yeah,
and
Dan DMing, and as we said, the three of us.
Kit, Rug, and Bastion.
All work for a Hutt crime lord boss.
Bargos.
Bargos the Hutt. And Bargos the Hutt is in a little bit of a financial strait at the moment and just won himself a mine, and he wants the party.
A mine!
And, of course, he needs the party to go check up on the mine and go get the money that the mine makes and bring it back to him because he needs money ASAP. So that's the starting goal. Yeah. Quick and simple, easy peasy, right?
Yeah. So we end up getting there, and so just as a meta aside, looking at the books, like how they guide you, like there was supposed to be like an astromech, mm-hmm. some droid of some sort that was supposed to guide us along, mm-hmm. and Dan's, you know, looking at it, and like he could have
modules.
So yeah. Part of the problem here too is that like we talked about doing this thing, and I read through the module. And made some notes somewhere, probably, and then lost the notes, and then forgot what was in the module. And then when we were finally actually getting ready to start, I kind of sat down and skimmed through it, but not closely enough to remember exactly where this droid was. I knew the droid was there, and I thought that they were going to find the droid, but if I were a more prepared better DM, I could have railroaded a little bit better.
Yeah.
However,
just
or you could have just moved the droid's location.
You could have either moved the droid.
So originally,
or
we got there and we like get into the first room and there's some dead bodies just kind of hanging out, and then there's a serving droid still serving meals over there, and we go to talk to the droid and it just ignores us.
Yeah.
So that's not the droid we needed. And then it's like, would you like to go in the left door or the right door? And we chose.
One of them, whichever one was
the wrong one, because the other one had this droid that was supposed to give us all the information about the facility. Yeah. So we went the other way and just started going from door to door.
The door on the right just kept going and going and going, whereas the door on the left was just one room. Uh-huh. We would have found the droid and it would have came with us.
Yeah.
And
then he would have told us everything was happening.
As you guys are going through, I'm like, where the crap is this freaking droid? Yeah, like, I know there's a droid.
Because every room we get into, we're like, okay, so what's going on in here? What do we see? And he's in you know, Dan's looking at the module going. And then later he finally goes, okay, guys, you were supposed to find this droid that would have explained everything, because in the module, it literally says the droid tells the players this. Mm-hmm. And so we weren't getting any of that information as we were going along.
Yeah, I'm sitting there flipping through this book, trying to skim read it, trying to figure out where in the world that freaking droid is so that I can direct you guys there. I don't know why I didn't think about just moving the droid, but
it's fine.
I didn't.
And that's okay. But we made it through.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
we did it without that stupid droid.
We made it through. We encountered a droid uprising of sorts.
Well, so we found like the main
EV
office.
Right?
Yeah, it was an EV droid. Can't remember its actual designation.
Like, so like if you're familiar with Star Wars, Kalani is this style.
An EV droid is like the torture droid from Jabba's palace.
Oh, I thought I was picturing things wrong the entire time.
Yeah,
in my
head. EV droid is the guy. Whatever. Yeah. Picture that torture droid from Jabba's palace who was like, you will make an excellent acquisition, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I
know what it looks like.
So
I just thought
droid we met somewhere along the way, and they told us, oh yeah, the mine isn't doing well and it's like going under, and then he like dodged our questions and disappeared. And we ended up finding the office, which we found on the computer, that like the mine was, I don't know, something was happening where like a bunch of reactors and everything were all shut down, and the mine was actually imminently going to be like flushed of all oxygen or something like that.
So the EV droid had restraining bolts on a bunch of different droids.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
one of them he had put on a droid and had it going out to shut down the various thingamabobs that made atmosphere and oxygen. And it was getting ready to shut down.
Yeah, because this was a stormy planet, and it was like they had like these markers that were out around the mine.
That was creating like a force field around the mine to keep it from.
And there was one that was already down by the time we got there, and they just kept slowly getting shut down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we downloaded this information, or Kit downloaded this information onto a data pad that like the mine was, one, not making a profit and not doing well, and two, it was being like currently being shut down.
Revolutionized.
Yeah. They did get into the safe and find a nice chunk of, I think it was like 100,000 credits or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's what Bargos wanted. He needed X amount of money, which was supposed to be in the safe. It happened to be in the safe. So they were able to recover the money. Then they decided to start trying to figure out how to stop the shutdown, whatever, the droid that was going around shutting down the atmosphere. Along the way, we ran into EV, the EV droid, and his his bunch of droid henchmen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we tried to talk to Evie again, and once again, he actually gave us a bunch more information about how the mine was doing, and Kit had him download all that data onto his data pad. Then as they were talking to him, we asked Evie some questions that he didn't want to – he just tried to dodge answering, and then eventually he just started shooting at us.
Yeah, right. And then
I do believe.
Yeah, there were some like hauler droids.
The big
that,
yeah, the, that, big, the big hauler droids.
Those were not to be trifled with. And I don't think I think we eventually were like, we're going to stop trifling with these guys.
This was one of those combats that we could not quite win, and we were not supposed to win because the EV droid was starting a droid revolution, and he was getting all of these droids and was going to load them up on a ship and leave. So we were fighting with them. Kit actually took a blaster shot straight to the chest and just immediately dropped down on the ground, 0 hit points. And this is how we found out how ridiculously unbalanced the combat system is. Like, yeah. I get shot one time, full dead. Uh-huh. Like, not dead, but absolutely not, like, knocked out and out of combat. And, as, you know... That was as the droids were retreating and running away, and so the other part, like party, could not pursue the droids because downed party member, and they realized we need to also get out of here because the atmosphere is about to go.
Yeah,
so we had to let Evie and a bunch of droids escape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they did.
We made it back to the ship and left. And as soon as we left, the atmosphere shield generators went down, and boom, droid. Mine is basically destroyed.
Yeah, and then once we – that's where the DM shift happened.
That's where the DM shift happened.
And then Clint took over.
I came in. That was probably two – like, I don't know if we played one.
It was a session or two.
It was maybe two sessions we played to get to that point. But then we switched to me being the GM at that point, and I did what all good GMs do at the start of a campaign. I kidnapped the characters, stole all of their stuff, and started them over naked and alone and afraid with nothing.
It's like, well, at least I have this experience. You can take that away.
So what I had done is after they had got in the mine, they contacted Bargos and told him, hey, we got the money, and we're gonna head back to you. And he said, oh, well, on your way back, I need you to go meet up with my other associate, Derek. And pick up 50,000 more from him because he owes me some money, and we talked about it. So I had the players went to some remote location in space to meet up with Derek. This is a recurring funny name that all my non-essential NPCs became Derek because of this one guy, because they were like, so what's his name? And I was like, Derek. It's Space Derek.
Yeah. Wasn't there a Derek too? Oh.
No, that was later.
I made more jokes with it. And so they met with him, got the money transferred, and then as they were saying their goodbyes, out of nowhere comes a massive ship that comes out of hyperspace, immediately locks the players into a tractor beam, cuts their communication with Bargos, telling Bargos, hey, we got the money and we're on our way back to you. Cut their communication. And Derek attempted to flee, and his ship was destroyed.
Yeah.
Shortly after, the player's ship got boarded by a bunch of Imperial troopers. Kit, being the tiny little animal that he is, hid in the air duct vents. This was my way of getting Kit out of the way and out of the story. And then they proceeded to just arrest the Rogri and Bastion for not giving any reason. They came in and said, you're under arrest. And they're like, well, what the heck? Why for? And they just said, shut up. You're under arrest.
Yeah.
And proceeded to arrest and inject them with something that made them fall asleep.
I think we got stun batons.
Stun batons, basically. Oh, okay, yeah, it's just stun baton to sleep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we woke up.
So meanwhile, that was happening.
First we have to explain what happens to Vib. Yeah.
We jump over across the galaxy where Vib was at. Vib was celebrating.
I don't remember this.
Viv was celebrating a promotion.
Okay.
At his bounty hunting office.
Okay.
He was promoted to field.
Oh.
And
he was actually a bounty hunter.
He was going to be a bounty hunter because there was a shift and he was promoted to field. And okay. So he went out to gamble and have fun at a bar, a casino bar.
Oh,
that is another.
Somebody pissed on me.
So that is another thing.
Somebody did.
So Viv actually has a gambling problem.
Yes.
Or I don't know if we'd call it a problem. He likes gambling.
I enjoy it.
Really, so Viv loves gambling. So he's at the bar, gambling, having fun. And then after several drinks, decides, you know, he's got to go pee. But there's a long line for the bathroom. So instead, he goes out the back door into the back alley and relieves himself out there. While he's relieving himself, some figures come out of the dark up behind him and just hit him with a stun baton. He is stunned, electrocuted, falls to the ground, continues to urinate all over himself. Will refuse.
Fake news.
So, all the players then.
We wake up in this Imperial ship where, you know, Rookery and I and a engineer are in one cell.
Face.
Yeah, like Ponda Baba.
Ponda Baba Buttface. Yeah. Yeah.
Wake up and we're like, hey, what the hell's going on? He's like, ah, you know, I was kidnapped too. And we're like, okay. And then in another cell.
No, you guys were in the same cell.
Oh, he was in the same cell.
He was the last one to wake up.
Okay. He was the last one to wake up. There's a Toydarian that smells like piss.
His first, his immediate concern was just to find out who had pissed on him.
Who peed on me?
So, we were unable to get ourselves out. There was no real availability to us, but
you were just stuck in a cell, in like a plasma cell, and you looked around and there's like 30 other prisoners in a bunch of other cells with you.
And then this
all walks of life.
There's this team of partisan renegades that attack the ship. We kind of hear some, you know, explosions and whatnot happening, and then
the ship was ionized, so it came to a stop.
And then we hear fighting, and then somebody blasts into the
detention level.
Yeah, the detention center.
Yeah.
And then
Clint got to do the voice.
I think that was a little bit like was it,
oh, was he not there at the beginning?
I think at the beginning there was just like two.
Oh,
commandos.
You're right. Yeah, it was. I think at the beginning it was just the commandos, and then we ran into.
Oh yeah, that's right. That is correct actually. So you get a couple renegades come busting in. They're like, oh whoa. There's prisoners? What the heck? And they're like, well, get these guys out of the cell. So they start, you know, punching buttons on a computer.
Yeah.
They were able to release the party's cell.
The protagonist of the story.
Conveniently enough, a bunch of troopers immediately stormed in and shot the control panel. Oh, no. So we couldn't release all the other prisoners. And so, they picked up the weapon from the – I think Bastion picked up the weapon from the downed renegade.
Yeah, and they were like these crappy blasters, which is fine because that's your starter blaster.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of start making our – like we're like, oh, hey, we were kidnapped. We don't know what the hell's going on either. We can't really tell you because we just were kidnapped. Mm-hmm. And so we just start making our way to the
– Well, you guys heard a bunch of other troopers coming down the hallway.
Yeah.
And then there was a massive laser blast of fire that wiped them all out, and then in comes
Saw and Two Tubes.
Saw and Two Tubes.
Two of the four.
Pick one. I don't remember which.
I don't know which one it is. To meet the party and be bewildered that there were prisoners aboard this ship, and was like, well, I mean, you're free now. Come with me. You're helping.
Yeah. And we do that.
They had to fight their way to the bridge to take over the ship.
Yeah, I think Saw and Two Tubes started going to the engine, and then while the rest of us went to the control room. Does that sound right?
Well, you know, you all went to the control room, and some of the other renegades went towards the engine. It was you guys were kind of like middle of the ship, and you know, you met up with like, you know, this group go that way. You guys are with me. We're going to go take the bridge.
Two Tubes had like a heavy gun.
He had a big heavy laser blaster.
He was helpful during the
You guys fought. You guys fought a few troopers along the way, and then at one point had to split up and go down two separate hallways to hit two different control panels at the exact same time to mm-hmm. open the bridge door.
Yeah.
Right. Did that. Right, yeah.
So
we fought like
convenient
a droid,
way convenient way to make the party have to go one way while, you know, Saul and Two Tubes, who are extremely overpowered, go the other way and they're not allowed to help.
Yeah.
That is where they ran into a very big battle mech droid that was guarding the door. During that fight was where we first got Vib's force sensitivity triggered in, was Bastin got
hurt.
He got shot.
Yeah.
Was hurt and bleeding out. And Vib comes rushing over and is like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And like touches him and
does magic hands.
Does magic hands. Yes.
Confusing magic hands. Me and Vib. So yeah, neither of us know what the hell's going on, but I'm okay with that. It was like,
like, hey, this feels good. I mean, yeah. Don't stop. It's weird, but don't stop.
Yeah. I don't feel like it was too, I feel like that was like our first inclination of how swingy battles could be. Cause it was like, holy crap, I just took a bunch of damage. And then it was like, holy crap, we just killed this thing.
Yeah. And then, and also he just healed you all the way back up. And
Yeah.
It was very swingy. Mm-hmm. But they were able to defeat the droid, open up the door, and meet back up with Saul and Tubes, ready to storm the bridge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we did that.
They did.
And we shot a bunch of
they broke
stormies.
In.
And, you know,
oh, yeah. There was actually a lot. So this is one of those, I wasn't sure how many troopers to put on the bridge. Yeah. Like, on the one hand, you guys have Saul and Tubes helping you. But on the other hand, that's a lot of troopers up there in the bridge. I mean, a lot of troopers. And then the commanding officer who was going to be, you know, more special and hit harder.
Yeah,
and
he buffs other
and
people
he was buffing
as well.
And he was buffing the other troopers. But they did a pretty good job at wiping out almost everybody on the bridge. They killed almost everybody. They tried to keep one person alive. But Saul walked up to him and shot him in the head.
Yeah, it was like, we're going to keep you
alive.
Bastin
was like,
to...
what? I was going to interrogate him. And Saul was like, oh, you weren't going to get nothing out of him anyway. Yeah. They won't say anything.
It was like, I just wanted to know what the hell, why I did that.
And at the same time, Tubes walks up to the two people piloting the ship and just shoots them.
Yeah.
Like, just ruthlessly.
Yeah, indeed.
So they try to find out, you know, where are they? Or they find out they're... Whatever they're out way out in like the western reaches of space.
Yeah, nothing really around.
Nothing around. They're just way out in the middle of nowhere. And they were like, "All right, well, let's plot a course to the nearest planet, put this thing down, and see what's on it."
Yeah,
because Saul is, he's looking for something. He's looking for something, and he's sure that this is where it's at. This is going to give him the clue that he's looking for. You know, playing off that whole Saul.
As
Sauls want to do. And so, let's go put the ship down. Along the way, the crew that went to go take out the engine room, they were watching them on the monitors, and as the fight ensues, somebody decides to throw a thermal detonator and explodes one of the engines and rips a massive hole in the side of the ship.
Yeah.
And so the ship starts to... kind of careen out of control,
at which point,
and begins kind of ripping apart.
At which point, Saw was just like, "Well, have a nice day."
He's like, "Well, we got a ship. Have fun."
Yeah.
Bye.
So they leave.
Saw and Tubes leaving the players to figure out how to land a crashing Star Cruiser.
So we end up doing a. Oh, what was
skills
it called?
Skittles challenge.
Where
it's a skills challenge. If it's used in D&D sometimes, some people might know what it is. We actually played it for our first time in our D&D game a couple of years ago.
Sure.
But anyways, it's a concept where you have an outcome, and then you have all the players use their skills in interesting ways to affect the outcome.
Yeah.
Like you say, here's the situation and this is what you guys are doing. So what's a cool way that you can affect this?
So basically Bastin was piloting the ship because he's a pilot. Mm-hmm. So it was like, it was on him to make like the final skills check. Cause we had like three large skill checks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's multiple skill checks to affect your role.
But the other teammates were making,
I believe where we were making other skill checks in order to give you more good dice.
Yeah,
I think is what it was.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Or give me bad dice. I think happened only once. So
that was probably
my fault.
I don't remember all what happened. Yeah. Like it was one of those things of like, hey, you know, what are you good at? And Vib is like, well, I'm good at, you know, encouraging people. So I'm gonna tell Bastion, you got this, man. You got this. You're gonna save us, right?
Well, I did a pretty good job.
And then, you know, Rogri's good at survival, so she looks at the computer and is like, I'll look for the best spot to land. What is the best place to crash this ship? You know, along the side of a mountain with some water nearby. You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there was things like that. There was they all put a bunch of different skills in that ultimately added to the overall dice pool that Bastion was going to roll to actually do the crash landing.
And it turned out that it went incredibly well.
he rolled stupidly good.
So for all three, like, we just passed with flying colors. So that just, like, this had effects later, but it basically meant that we got the best outcome for the landing. The ship still fell apart while we were crashing because it was still a crash landing.
Yeah, it's still the ship was still crash landing through atmosphere, and like the ship was being ripped in half. From
the explosion, explosions while it was already in space.
Yeah, from the explosion and then from the reentry into atmosphere, all of that
was tearing
the ship in half and apart. Yeah. And so he was able to slide it down a mountain. The back half of the ship rips off, and the front of the half of the ship kind of flies on for a little bit more before it finally falls to the earth. In the best way possible, because Bastion is the best pilot in the universe.
Yeah, apparently.
Great under pressure.
Yeah. So we land, and so it's us and that engineer? Yeah, the engineer's
with
us.
Yeah, the engineer
us,
was with
the,
you guys.
The Ponda Baba guy. Mm-hmm. What was his name again?
Romulus the Baba was the only note that somebody wrote down of who he was.
And then threw the note away.
Because it's like, I was like, I don't know what this means. Chuck,
what does Romulus the Baba mean? I don't know. Goodbye. So we start making our way. So the idea was like, okay, so we can't, we're not able to make a transmission from here. So we stayed there for a night, you know, just collecting ourselves and then
recovering, found what supplies you could kind of thing.
And then we're like, okay, so I guess the plan is just to follow the debris to the other parts of the ship. Hopefully we can find something to transmit off world, or at least find something that, you know, can help us, you know, make a new life on this planet. and just follow the debris back to the other half of the ship that, you know, landed. And on the way
Clint did DM things where he tried to teach us a lesson about fighting things, because excuse me.
Just choke on your own spit there.
Yeah, a little bit.
So great. Sorry.
No, it's fine. See, we came across these plants that had, you know, these tentacles, and they had kind of leaf mouths. I think they were like Venus flytraps, right?
Venus flytraps with vines that could reach out and grab things and pull them in. Mm-hmm. And so as they're walking along,
Ramisk,
the Baba. he gets his leg wrapped up by one of these tentacles, and it starts to pull him in towards plant monsters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
plant monsters.
Plant monsters that monsters. My drawing looked like female anatomy. Let's just put it that way. So we called them not plant monsters, but anyways.
Uh-huh. Female anatomy monsters.
Yeah. We called them female anatomy monsters.
So the party is just, you know, fighting these things and fighting these things.
So
and
Rogue just goes, oh gosh, I gotta go save that guy, and just rushes in, you know, and starts beating on a plant.
Yeah, I mean, we're all fighting the plants. And then, like, there just keeps being more plants and more plants and more plants. And see, it turns out that we were supposed to escape from the plants, not murder them all.
It was eventually like, so they can't move.
Why don't we
just walk away?
They're attached to the ground, so we're leaving.
Yes. Yeah, because it was getting concerning, because every time, like, the the tentacles would, like, go up and, like, wrap up Rugri and, like, restrain her, and then she would just break free with her Wookiee strength, and, like, that's her turn. Her turn's over. Mm-hmm. And then another, on the plant's turn, would just wrap her up again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because the further and further they moved in, it was just more and more plant monsters in this big, giant cluster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And they eventually decided, we should just go. Uh-huh. Just leave.
We're going to leave.
We're going to leave.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like, that is how you win this encounter, uh-huh. by not being murder hobos.
So indeed.
We end up leaving. We kept our Baba. he did not get consumed by the plant monsters either. Uh-huh. And then we followed the path, you know, we foraged. There were some like panther monsters.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Some big cats. Of
yeah,
some big
sludge panthers.
We ate one.
Cats.
Oh yeah,
you
we
guys
did
eat one.
We needed
I don't know why that's a detail that my brain latched onto, but it is a detail my brain latched onto.
Food.
We ate a big cat.
I'm sure you needed food, and this was like the one time we actually tracked hunger and food because you guys were in a survival situation.
Yeah. So after, I mean, that was just another small encounter. And,
yeah, just got attacked by some cats.
And then we happen upon the rear end of the ship, and because of Bastin's excellent piloting skills, a lot of things survived.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant a lot of stormtroopers survived.
Yeah.
That meant a lot of the people that were in cells survived. And a lot of loot survived, so
yes.
that was good. You know?
Yeah, that was actually a pat on my own back. That was pretty clever to determine how this encounter was going to go based on how they did the skills challenge and landed the ship. Because if he crashed it super bad, it's like, well, you don't have to verse a bunch of troopers. There's not that many people to save, but there's not that much loot.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
In this situation, it's great loot. However, lots of troopers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So we had to come up with like a, commando battle plan of how to, how to attack the troopers who were holding, of course, the prisoners, still prisoner.
Yeah.
They were making them work and they were trying to repair
this. Yeah, they were
this.
Making them work.
They were specifically trying to repair a U-wing that was like damaged.
So one of the Renegade's U-wings was still attached to the hull when it crashed and had flung off and slammed up against a tree and was upside down.
Yeah, and they were trying to flip it.
They were trying to, get all these prisoners to work to flip the ship over. They had another section of prisoners that was like digging graves for any dead people. And then they had another portion of prisoners that were just up against the wall.
Yeah.
Being
guarded. Being prisoners.
Being prisoners, being guarded.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did have to attack from a specific side because there was a mounted gun, which mounted guns do tons of damage. So it was good that we didn't get hit by it because holy crap. What we kind of tried to do was like inspire the
prisoners.
Liberate some prisoners to help them. Yes.
Yeah, to help us. Uh-huh. And they were cannon fodder. And holy crap, they got cannon foddered pretty big.
That cannon made some fodder.
Yeah.
Yes. The ones that were being held off against the wall were the more gruff looking ones that would be troublemakers. And as soon as they saw there was commotion, they decided to start trying to break free. And it didn't go well for them.
Which, it was good enough because it distracted some stormtroopers from not shooting at us. So we were able to...
The net positive result was that we liberated the camp.
Liberated the camp. I can't remember how... Oh, so, like, we did the majority of the job of
you
taking...
did, like, 95% of killing all the troopers.
I don't think that we took out the mounted gun, but then... Saw in his U-wing decides to fly in, and then
all the blaster bolts fire. He finally found where you guys were.
Yeah,
it was very foggy.
Yeah, but there was a that was also where we saw mounted turrets. You know that were on a U-wing can do a lot of damage to other mounted turrets because it took that thing out super quick too.
That's basically all it did was. Saul comes in to clean up the fight. By clean up the fight was he blew up the mounted turret.
Yeah,
and then the fight was pretty much
just
over.
The fight was over. It was just going to be really annoying to shoot this thing, and just Clint just did a good DM for us and just made us not have to fight a stupid battle.
You had already fought off a bunch of troopers. You killed the other commander that was in charge there.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So that was good.
Yeah.
Anyways, Saul lands, and is like, well, seems like you guys made it down all right. And then was like, well, let's search this ship. I want to find what I'm looking for. So they proceed to search the ship.
Saul doesn't exactly find
Saul
what
doesn't
he wants.
Find what he wants. Everything he is finding, you know, it's like just mundane material, like building materials and like raw material, whatever.
Yeah.
A few, like maybe a few crates of like of weapons or something, but
yeah.
not much.
Yeah.
So he took what he wanted and loaded it up on his U-wing,
and
left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
well,
I mean,
he gave you guys. Well, actually, I guess he hung out for a little bit
yeah,
until you guys realized that the other U-wing could be fixed.
Yeah, we were like, so we need a way off this planet, and he was like, well, you can use the U-wing, but you have to give it back. And it was, but the thing about the U-wing was trashed. Like there was, so like you know, I don't know how you know. You saw Rogue One, there's the cabin, you know, where Cassian and K2SO are, and then there's the back portion. The back portion
is a van.
Was open to space in parts, so we had to, like, when we eventually do leave, the three of us are in the cabin of the ship for, I think, like 2 weeks or something
weeks.
Like that. So we're cooped up in that tiny little area. It was like...
With a bucket.
Yeah, with a bucket. It's like, oh, man. And that Wookiee fur...
giant Wookiee.
It just sticks in the Wookiee fur. So
yeah, so...
But
Saul left and said, hey, that's the U-Wing. Bring it
yeah.
back to me when you can.
Yeah.
But you guys can get out of here.
Yeah.
But they had to, of course...
We also had to talk to the prisoners that were there because we were like, oh, hey, we're going to take this. And then they're like... take us with you. And it's like, we literally can't. So like, we're going to take the three of us. But we talked to Saw and said, hey, will you come back for these guys? Fully knowing that Saw forgets that he's ADHD of the military, you know, renegade sort. So, you know, once his concentration's off of that, he's not going to remember to do that, even if he had the best intentions of doing it. But that was enough for my character to be like
through slightly morally dubious means
yeah,
that Rug felt worse about than Bastin did.
Yeah, Bastin was like, you know, I did the best I could, like, but I need to get out of here. But I went to him. I was just like, hey, Saw says he's gonna come back for you guys. You know, it was like so that you know, cool for you. We only have room for us anyway, so we're going to take this and go. And we took it and went.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So the three protagonists escaped the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, and as we said, yeah, the ship was destroyed up to the point where they couldn't go to full light speed, but they were able to jump into light speed for minor moments and then jump out before the ship exploded.
Yeah.
So they weren't able to just, you know, oh, we can just go straight to our destination.
Yeah, we went to the nearest habitable planet.
This is how you railroad. The nearest habitable planet was a few weeks away.
Yeah, uh-huh. And it was podunk. You know, it wasn't like...
It's farm planet.
It had enough to where it had a...
Farm
you
world.
Know, a
Farmville, you might say.
Yeah. I don't want to call it a spaceport, but enough to where like they expected to have ships in every once in a while, and we landed and talked to Bob. Was it Bob?
It's Bob.
So we meet Bob at the spaceport, and
this is Farm World. Everybody has a country accent and a country name.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
a weird space-sized country name.
With one exception, and it's my favorite character. But
because yeah, there's a bunch of like Bob is not Bob, it's Baub.
B-A-U-B. Oh, B-A-U-B.
Baub.
Baub.
And
Tayami.
Tayami.
Yeah, yeah. So we encounter various mundane locals who have slightly distorted, country names.
Spacified.
Spacified country names. And ultimately, the upshot is our ship needs a lot of repair.
Yeah, talking
and
to
we
Bob,
need X amount of dollars.
Yeah,
you
Bob
know.
Is also a spaceship mechanic type guy. So mm-hmm. we talked to him and we're like, hey, we need this fixed. And when you know, it was like, so he was like, yeah, this is going to take like 2 weeks.
He's like,
and
it's going
to
take a few weeks. And these are the different levels of what I can fix it to based on how much you want to pay me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
So We were like, well, we're going to have to pay you.
Get it running, and we'll fill you in from there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So basically it was like, hey, where can we stay? And also, where can we get a job?
Mm-hmm.
So he pointed us to, what was it, Tammy's place?
Tammy's.
We secure... Fortunately, Tammy took pity on us, and she gave us like a really cheap rate for like the first night until we got actual money in our hands.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the first like
a very tiny room.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But like, enough to where
the,
we could
like
get
the community bathroom down the hall kind of thing.
It's like enough to where we could get the smell out of Rug's hair.
yeah,
and you know, clean ourselves off. But
Vib still smells like piss. Still hasn't had a shower up to this point, so like that's the thing that's coming into this establishment.
Yeah. I can't remember if we went to get a job first or if we went to talk to Schmody first.
We got a job first, sure, I would say.
Schmody. Yeah. I was wondering who you were saying that the one exception, and this is your favorite character. Who are you talking about?
Yeah.
Schmody makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure we went to the jobs guy. Yeah. What was his country name?
George.
Oh, yeah, George.
George.
George. Have we only met one Derek up to this point?
Up until that point, I think you had only met one Derek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, anyway, we get a job to go help hunt some calf hounds.
Yeah. Yes. So, a local farmer, Powell,
mm-hmm.
Definitely not Paul, was having some issue with the local hound population. Usually they're, you know, not a huge problem. You got to shoot one here or there, but lately they've been getting... They've been going out in packs, and like just decimating his livestock.
Yeah.
So the players were asked to go cull the herd a little, or cull the pack.
Just a little.
Uh-huh. Just go cull the pack a little.
Yeah. So we murdered a lot of calf hounds.
Yeah.
So
didn't we wind up with some calf hound veal steaks?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, yeah, you did.
yes. So we went out to the farm. We talked to, what did you say his name was?
Paul.
Oh. And we did a dungeon crawl, essentially. It was a little cave.
Yeah, you know? They just dungeon crawled through a cave and just wiped out room by room of a bunch of calf hounds, dogs.
Yeah.
And cut off their tails.
And, that was the thing. He wanted their tails as proof of mm-hmm. how many you killed, and he would pay you...
Per tail.
Per tail, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the hounds would do, they're normally skittish, but these were willing to stay and fight until about the last member or maybe the last two, and then they would flee and run away, and they would just flee further into the caves.
Yeah.
And so they're going room by room, clearing out most of the dogs, and then like maybe one or two would flee if they were lucky and didn't get shot while they were fleeing.
Uh-huh. Yes. And until we get to essentially the boss room,
which is
the chief.
The big alpha
calf
hound
with
massive horns and is just... huge dog.
Yeah,
and I feel like we murdered him real fast.
He did.
Yeah. And then we cut off its head. Who did
that? But not before he, you know, made a huge yowling noise that brought in a bunch more dogs to come in and cut you guys off from behind. However, you guys, instead of just killing off all the little dummies, you guys killed the main big alpha, which was the reason why they weren't very skittish and they were willing to hang out.
Mm.
As soon as the alpha was dead...
They were like, peace.
they just disbanded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You cut off.
I don't remember. I didn't do it.
Somebody cut the horns off.
Yeah, I think that was Vib.
It did something. I'm pretty sure it was Vib who like mutilated the head and mutilated the horns.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, would have been a really nice trophy.
Yeah, that's what the guy said. He was like, that's a shame because that would have been a really nice trophy. I would have given you a lot of money for that.
Yeah. On their way back, as they're going out, they decided to go the other way through the cave, and they came across the nursery area that had a bunch of puppies.
And thus, so
they very quickly killed the
steaks.
They killed the protectors there, and collected a bunch of calf hound babies, brought it back to Paul, and they cooked them up and made veal steaks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we
got paid a pretty penny for all the – because he didn't realize, like, whoa, this situation was way more out of control than I understood. So he gave him a little extra tip, paid them for the tails, paid them for the veal steaks even, treated them to a dinner.
Yeah. That and that got us enough money to like
enough money to pay Tammy.
Yeah, pay Tammy for the next 2 weeks, and then I guess I don't remember if we put a down deposit on the ship or anything.
I probably
like
gambled some.
Yeah, you gambled some. At this point, the party, like, they all kept all their money separate. I think you still do. Yeah. So it was like, hey, here's some money. And immediately Vib's like, let's go back to town. Yeah. I want to find the bar.
Yeah. So, like, first of all, my character is very much himself, where he's like, I'm not in for split pots. And then also, I don't trust this Toridarian that just keeps gambling.
At this point, all three of them were very new to each other and didn't know who each other were.
So we're not doing a party pot.
Yeah. They were just incidentally together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We talked. So I think this is when we come across Shmodiopopo. Shopo.
Shmodiopopo.
Shmodi Ashopo's a shop of things.
Shmodi Ashopo's a shop of things.
That is probably my very favoriteest DM like thing you've ever done.
I love it. Uh-huh. But like he's an Ithorian? Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So his last name is Ashopo. It's literally a shop. Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he has a shop of things.
So this is actually a character from Star Wars Galaxies, old RPG that I played.
Yeah.
Or whatever, MMO that I played.
Yeah.
And he's an Ithorian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
he's got to catch all junk shop. And yeah, he's very personable, fun guy.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. So he talks about how, like, you know, his past and how he used to be a swoop racer, and which piques Bastion's interest because mm-hmm. Bastion's like, hey, you know, I like piloting stuff. And he mentions that there's actually
just so happens
that there's a swoop race coming up. And mm-hmm. Bastion's like, well, if you're interested in, you know, having me race for you, since you said it, you know, you're retired and you're the racer you just had just left on you. Mm-hmm. If you want somebody to race for you, we'll do it. I'll do it. Mm-hmm. I remember at some point he had me go out on the test track.
Yeah, he had you go do trial runs and prove your piloting skill.
Yeah.
Because you actually did need some piloting skill to, you know, to race a track.
But before we did the race,
yeah. So you secured your position to be in the race,
yeah. And also,
but it wasn't going to happen for several days.
Yeah.
At this point.
Amongst the junk that was in the crash from that Empire ship
conveniently,
like an accelerator of some sort. I don't remember exactly what it was called, but it was
hyper accelerator.
Yeah, hyper accelerator. That's what it was. And we were like, so if I do race for you, would this help? And he was like, heck yeah, it would. So he was like,
I'll soup that.
So
soup right up.
So he's like, well, then I'll put that on the bike, you know? So he, you know, while we're doing our next
job.
Yeah. He's working on the stuff, getting that ready to go. So
you go back to George, yeah.
Yeah, George.
You go back to George, and you're like, all right, so we did that thing. And he was like, well, you know, that one was just a test to see, because you guys look like you can handle yourselves, but, you know, just wanted to make sure before I actually
looks
send you to
deceiving.
The real thing. Yeah, looks can be deceiving. So he tells them about an old CIS factory that was built on the planet in secret during the Clone Wars, but then... They are relatively near some old CIS, like other planets that were very prevalent in the war, but this is like a planet just kind of off out in the kind of other reaches. But the idea was like they had built this facility in secret, and just like all other facilities, it got the shutdown codes and it shut down. But there were some auto turrets that were surrounding the entrance to the facility. And so no one had ever really gone out there to check it out or anything, because anyone who does go near it gets shot at. So they just, you know, better leave it alone.
Yeah.
Whatever. So it's been left alone for the last 16, 20,
George
whatever.
Sent one dude out to this before, but he never heard from him again.
Because recently some B1 battle droids went and shot up a farm. Some very derelict B1 battle droids that are like missing a bunch of parts, aren't really walking correctly, all of that. The smoke from the steam vents is going again. Clearly, the factory has started itself up again and is producing droids, and these droids have attacked a farm.
Yeah.
And so he was like, I need someone to go shut that thing down. And he did send one guy out there who never returned. And so now he turns to these guys to do it.
We come upon the base, but we also come upon the guy that was previously sent, and he was smashed by a boulder.
He was...
But with the explosives that dislodged the boulder would kill him. Yeah. It was a whole thing.
He was attempting to blow up the turrets, and ended up blowing up part of the side of the cliff that he was hanging out on. It was smashed underneath of a boulder or something like that.
But
he was dead.
But conveniently, his bowler cap survived. And became the possession of Vib.
Because he's down there. He's like, hey, what do I find on this body? And I'm just vaguely explaining, you find some, some detonite charges and, this, that, and the other. And he's like, anything of interest? And I was like, he was wearing a bowler cap. Like, it's just a little one-off random thing. And he's like, I pick it up and put it on.
Yeah. I feel so sorry for Dan because he doesn't have the visual, because I could picture it and it looks hilarious. It's like, this is perfect. This is great for your character. It fits him to a T.
I love how just little moments like that can define characters later on. It's so good.
Yeah. It's a fairly dilapidated base. So, we were able to,
You were able to trick the turrets by having somebody drive.
The turrets were active, right?
The turrets were active, but they were very rusty and old, so they moved really slow.
One of them was completely stuck. One of them was probably damaged by that guy's explosive, so it wasn't moving at all.
Yeah.
But there was one that was going super slow. So, basically, we had somebody in the speeder. I think it was Vib. Drive around. Somebody drove around in the speeder.
To keep the turret pointed at them.
The turret just kept slowly turning
while someone else was then able to go sneak up on the turret.
Snooked up. Yeah.
Because the factory is underground. The only thing that is above ground is four turrets and an entrance building that would then lead to an elevator that would go underneath. And then there's some smoke vents, off in the distance. But that's all that is exposed.
Yeah. So we were able to snooked farther in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were able to trick the turrets, disable the turrets. I think Rogery actually climbed up on top of one of the turrets to to smash the gun and realize that there's a hatch on the top
and
of the turret.
And went down in. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And was able to get down in the turret,
mm-hmm.
which then led into the entrance building. Because you either had to figure out how to decode the door, explode the door, or find the hatches, the secret tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
And you happened upon the secret tunnels
mm-hmm.
by accident. And lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lucky accidents.
So, because I think the plan was we were going to blow up, use the detonite to blow up the turrets the guy that killed himself did. but just happened upon the entrance on top, and it was like, oh, cool.
Made your way in there.
Yeah, we cleared
shut
out, like,
down
the
other turrets.
Yeah, we cleared out the opening hallway, but then we were like, we need lights. So we went back to town, got the lights.
Took a little rest.
Yeah, took a little rest.
I don't know if anyone had gotten hurt up at that point, but
I think I had. I think
you
some
got
damage.
Shot by a turret maybe or something.
I think it was in that entryway. There was
maybe
there
the
was
entrance.
A lot of droids in the entryway.
That's true.
Rug does what Rug does and soaks damage while I shoot at people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the ranger archer whatever that. I'm mm-hmm. DPS while she tanks.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a tank, we got DPS, and we got heals.
So
it's a very nice, well-rounded party.
Yeah.
This was one of those, hey, this is going to be a really long, big dungeon. And there's no time limit on it. You guys can go back to the town and just rest. Yeah. So they did that a couple times. They would go, clear out a hall or two, clear out a room or two, and then be like, well, kind of hurting here. Let's go back.
Yeah.
So we make our way in. We, there's a couple little skirmishes here and there. They're B1 battle droids, so
and they were dilapidated.
Yeah, so they go down fairly
not
easy,
fully functional.
And if Bastin rolls well, he destroys things super quick, which is great. That's good because it's basically Rug distracts one group and has them just kind of sit and beat on her while she rips arms off and stuff like that. And then I'll just gun down another group, and then we'll just slowly kind of work to where Rug is. And then we get to the control room.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of droids and restraining bolts.
Working on a bunch of machines.
Yeah, just working. And we make our way into an office that has... Are they B2 battle droids?
Two B2 super battle droids.
Yeah.
These ones are actually bigger than normal ones.
Yeah, and the EV droid from the opening campaign thing that we did, the module that Dan DM'd for, and somebody was there starting up a droid factory for their droid revolution, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so EV... is kind of the same thing as Dan, where he's kind of a talker, and he just demotivates the opposite people. Yeah, so like that was the first time they got to experience that in a combat where it's not just the opponent shooting at you; it was the opponent debuffing, being like, "You suck."
Yeah.
So like now he just says, "Yeah, you're your mom."
Yeah.
And now it's like your dice roll was worse.
And apparently, like demotivator stuff really works on Bastin because I could not hit anything in that battle. However, the worst marksmanship in our group, Vib, just blasts EV twice with his like little ion weapon. It was just like, well,
I think Vib interrupted his speech. Right?
Vib did also interrupt his villain monologue. Yes,
he interrupted his villain monologue. I was giving him the whole like, yep. They entered in and it was just like, ah, you again. And like he was going into his whole speech, and then Vib's like, I shoot him. Like, oh, okay.
And also, like, this has been like a year and like 2 months at this point from the initial session. Oh, so, like, he's like, ah, you again. And we're like,
who? It was the most insulting thing ever to the bad guy. He's just like, ah, you again. And they're like, Who are you?
Do I know you?
Have we met?
For me, it was Tuesday. So, like, I remember I had ion grenades that actually hit. So that was, I think, the only contribution I did in that battle.
Yeah, it was like just chucked an ion grenade in the middle of the room that doesn't hurt you guys.
Yeah,
Because that's the neat thing about ion is that it does damage to droids specifically. So it's a neat mechanic of the game that like
like while a super B2 is doing a suplex to a Wookiee.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because I couldn't use the rocket launchers they were in a tiny little enclosed room.
Yeah, everyone would be dead.
So it was all just fisticuffs for them.
Is this where SK-37 comes in?
Yes.
Okay. So this is where, so Vib...
Once we dealt with EV...
You killed EV, you killed the two B-1 battles.
Oh, we killed EV?
Oh, yeah, you did. Okay. You did. You shot him with an ion destroyer.
Neat.
So just fried his circuits.
This whole time I've been expecting EV to pop up again at some point in time.
You shot him up and you fried his circuits.
I would love for that to be canon for Vib to actually think that as well.
Well, funny enough, you shot him and fried him and immediately like, so they're done fighting. And Vib turns around and walks out while Bastin and Rogue are like, all right, let's search the office and see what we can
find. Figuring out what the hell's going on,
We discover a recording of EV that's all like, he was like talking to his superior. He was like a recording.
You found a recording from a super tactical droid. Specifically,
I'm confused then.
The characters don't know, but it's Kalani, and I showed you a picture of it.
That's
like
the reason why
you guys saw
a
holo recording of Kalani.
Right.
I don't know what that means.
Berating EV for what he is doing, and is like, "Hey, you step out of line again, and I'm going to have to intervene." Like, So the idea was, EV was just getting a big head on himself, and was like, "I'm the leader of this droid revolution, and I'm doing all this stuff," and so they thought he was the big bad. And then they find a recording of Kalani, who is actually the one who told EV to gather up droids, go to the facility, start it up, and prepare for phase two, and do not do anything without my authorization. Of course, EV goes there, starts at the factory, and immediately starts testing out droids and gets himself caught.
And so while, while the they're responsible doing that, party members are being responsible...
Go ahead. This is
I don't remember how this goes down.
Well, like, so Vib...
I know the end result. All I have no idea how it came to be.
Right.
Vib frees the restraining...
Vib frees an astromech. He goes out there and just like finds an astromech and pops the restraining bolt off of it and frees him. And the droid is confused and is like, "What? Wait, hold on, where am I? This isn't my designation."
He's like, what happened?
And so Vib convinces this droid that he is essentially God.
Yeah,
he is the Lord and Savior.
He's like, I'm your Savior. I have saved you. I've come to save you all. And like,
I have come to save you all. Now go, save the others and spread my message.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and so this little astromech, who immediately then became Dan's little sidekick partner, he now controls this astromech as well.
Which is SK3T.
SK3T, mm-hmm. Or
yeah.
Skeet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought it was 3-7.
It's SK-37, yeah.
Yeah, SK-37,
yeah.
Yeah,
or Skeet. Yeah. So the droid goes around and starts flicking off restraining bolts and spreading the message.
So,
and...
So this is in this, like, office, like, the main control area. We're in an office in the control area, and so we just start hearing commotion.
A bunch of commotion happening, because some of the droids accepted the message and accepted Vib as their savior. Others... thought that was blasphemy.
Yeah.
And so the droids started fighting each other.
Yeah. We don't know that that's why they're fighting. We just know that restraining bolts were removed and there was a civil war.
They hold themselves up in the
office.
In the office for a moment. It's just the party and Skeet. And they're like, what did you do? And he's like, I released them. I saved them. And so they let that kind of commotion happen. They found out they could find anything more about the factory. You guys tried to shut it down, like, specifically. You were like, oh, can we go through and shut it down? And was like, okay, well, you know, the computer is kind of malfunctioning a little bit, but yeah, you can go through and look at.
We were able to shut down some things, but that triggered.
You were able to shut down some things, but it was one of those. So I had it to where if you shut down the mine, then it would trigger a self-destruct sequence.
Yeah, the reactor.
The reactor, if you shut down the reactor. But if you tried to shut down the
production.
The production, it would have been fine. But you can't shut it down from this computer, because as you're trying to click on one thing, it's like hovering over both things, and if you click on something, it clicks two things at once kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because it's an old computer.
Which was easily justified, because somebody threw an ion grenade in there.
Yeah, and so clicks on it, to shut the factory down, and it's like, cool, factory's shutting down. Self-destruct sequence in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't – it was a garbled message, so they had no idea how long they had.
Yeah.
It's just self-destruct in.
Yeah.
They're like, in when? So they knew this factory's going to explode, so they had to have the conversation amongst themselves of, do we try to stop this or do we just get the heck out of here?
Mm-hmm.
What do we do?
What do you do? Well, first you have to run through a bunch of droids duking it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we can find out next time on Dragon Ball Z.
I suppose this is a good cliffhanger to leave it on.
Yeah, right.
What do we do?
What do we
Dan,
do?
What indeed do we do?
I don't know.
Well, dear listener, you can find out when Dan does.
Yeah, sorry this is going to have to be a split episode. But yeah, it was going to be a long one if we were going to have fun making it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and I think it's worth.
We don't have anything else going on. We don't have any guests planned. So, you know, this is what you get.
Oh, FitWest Scrub is happening. Soon.
Oh,
speaking of guests.
Soon.
Good point. Soonish.
That's an announcement. We
have plenty of announcements.
So, let's go into the announcements. We will continue the story later.
FitWest Scrub is starting in April. Far as I know, the rules will be the same and all that, generally speaking, same kind of deal as before. If for some reason you're a new podcast listener who hasn't heard about this, it's a thing where you do whatever kind of exercise you want and you just track the minutes that you exercise.
Yeah.
And based on the number of minutes you have, you are able to earn chances in a drawing to be a guest on the podcast, essentially.
Yeah.
Prize of dubious value.
Guests on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Non like stuff. And don't just count your steps at work. But if you like take a, you know, if you walk during your lunch break or something like that, mm-hmm. that's, counts. Yeah, count that.
But. Right, yes, we have added the caveat that it has to be outside of work or outside of, like, you know, yeah. something you're required to do. Yeah, it has to be, you know.
We want to encourage you to...
Go out of your way to exercise.
Yeah, mm-hmm. to burn a few calories here and there. Go walk mm-hmm. a dog, you know.
that counts.
Your yeah. dog, someone else's dog.
Yeah.
Any dog, I mean, just walk a dog.
Give permission first. Oh. But have a dog chase you. You don't have to get permission for that one.
Nope. That's probably better exercise.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll be starting that up April 1st.
Mm-hmm. Yep, indeed.
And this will be the fifth one?
No.
I don't know. Something this like that.
I think fifth or sixth. Like,
I don't think it's sixth.
Well, we do it twice a year. So
we do it twice a year. We've been doing it for a few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This might be sixth. It might be number six, maybe.
Yeah.
And we can no longer count podcast guests.
Yeah, we
winners
can. If we cut Drew out.
Well, why would
or
we
not
cut
Drew?
Why would we
Brody.
Cut out Goose?
Cut out Brody because he was the backup for.
He was the backup
mm-hmm. for Tsukino.
Yeah.
So we got Matt.
Mm-hmm.
We do have
John
Matt.
With two N's. Yeah.
Goose.
Mm-hmm. And then Tsukino.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
Yeah.
So this would be six.
So we're on five.
This would be
six. We've been doing it for 2 years. We mm-hmm. do it twice a year. So, okay.
And we started in October.
We started in October.
Yeah, so this is the fifth one.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm. So this is your quintessential.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's got to be.
If we started
six.
In October, that doesn't make sense.
If we started in October, it would be this would be the sixth.
This would
one.
Be the sixth one.
But it doesn't make Who sense we if missing? We've only had four people.
Uh huh. Right.
No.
Yen. Is there another guest?
Yen.
Oh.
Sorry, person we're missing.
I thought we just had Yen on for regular.
I
Yen.
He also won.
You know, I
he
don't know.
He might have also been a Fit West guest, in which case that would make more sense in the April of it being number six.
Oh no. In April. No. Teddy. Hi, Teddy.
Oh, that's right. Teddy Roosevelt.
I thought he was just on for being...
No,
that was Fit West. Yes.
You thought he was on for being obnoxious? How rude. Yeah,
listen, you said it. You can't deny that you said it. I heard you say it. I may have said it first, but you said it. Hi, Teddy.
Yeah. So this is probably number six.
Yeah, probably the sixth. Also, next or this week,
so compete for your dubious reward. Yes, getting on here so
prize.
We can
yes.
talk bad
and,
about
yeah.
you.
Yeah, and
answer quickly enough, we might just give to someone else.
Yeah. and just in general, also, if you want to participate, you need to join our Discord so that you can give us your numbers
yeah.
on the Discord, so,
yeah,
so we can have everything in one spot.
There's a channel you can track it, and then also there's just a Fit West channel where you can mm-hmm. talk. You know, it's yeah. like if you want, like, plenty of people gone to Dan and asked for how can I do this, because Dan is our local, like, fitness guru among the four of us, I think.
There's also a lot of pictures. People like take pictures on their people walks like, or yeah, hikes or runs yeah. and yep. Post them in there. So
yeah. I'm so looking forward to Fit West again because of Brody. Hi, Brody.
It's a nice little community.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. He takes
he
awesome
takes the
pictures.
Best pictures. Yeah, and then provided that I don't, like, get massively sick or anything again, then there will be the Beat Dan Challenge
mm-hmm.
as well.
Yeah.
With some sort of reward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This week, the Scrubcast will be going to Adepticon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. If you are there, you will probably be listening to this while we are there.
Or on the drive up there
or
some
the drive
such
up
thing.
There. I don't
or
know.
Afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
or afterwards
you,
or before, mm-hmm. depending on what random schedule we
but
wind up going with.
If you... if you happen to listen to us and don't know that we're going there, now you know. Say hi to us. We'd love to see you.
Mm-hmm. Some of us will have t-shirts.
Some of us will have t-shirts.
Some better than others.
We should probably bring stickers. We have stickers, right?
We have stickers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And hand those out as well. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, in May, which is coming up so quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a thing that we need to do. Take care of.
Yeah.
We have the
most the most organized person in the podcast has also been the most busiest person in the podcast. So the scrub down absolutely is happening on the date that was picked, which is May 6th ish.
It's the weekend after May the 4th.
Maybe
we need, like, a sign up and tickets to get now.
I think after once we get past Worlds, I think we'll set up
down.
That'll be our point where we need to buckle down.
We have the grand prize,
start
which will be a lightsaber again. Mm-hmm. We have other
started
prizes.
Painting on ships. So I started painting ships.
I have not started baking yet.
Baking.
You probably shouldn't start baking the cookies this early. That would be, mm-hmm. that nah.
although they do stay just fresh for so long. I don't know how you do it.
Because
my cookies,
I don't know how I
sadly become rocks one day after I cook them, and I don't know what I need to change.
Yeah, Dan's just got that magic baking touch, I guess. He's like, this is the recipe I make. Follow it. And it's like, you're not going to make it the same way he does. I don't understand.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I follow it the way that I do.
Yeah,
so.
But, you know, you pour the extra ingredient in there.
Love.
It's love. Whereas I'm just like, yes, more salt. Whisk, whisk, whisk. Stir, whisk, stir, whisk, 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 stir.
Oh, you got it mixed up. That's
yep,
the reason.
That's the problem. There it is right there.
Look forward to more Scrubcasts. We've done legwork for it. First 32 will probably be getting challenge coins again. Bless you.
Sure.
Yep.
Blessings be upon you.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have Scrubcast dumpstered fire coins if you want to buy them for $10 when you're
and
there.
And we'll have Scrubcast members there too.
Yeah, there will also be, you cannot buy them for $10. But yeah, we look forward to seeing you there. It'll most likely be an extended tournament with bans still in effect. And
yeah. Right, yeah,
keeping
same
it
kind
fun.
Of deal. Yeah.
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 And maybe AMG After Worlds will release a points update, so it'll be a new, exciting, and fun time again instead of the same meta that we've had for a while.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, could be.
Or not.
Or
who
not.
Knows?
Maybe it won't be any fun at all. And you'll just come and we'll just stare at you judgingly. And then you'll be like, why aren't you having fun? I specifically requested it.
There will be cookies and apple pie moonshine. You will have fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Alrighty. So, and is that
the extent of announcements?
Yeah, just a reminder to anyone who has told us they are picking up their stuff at Worlds, make sure you find probably me at some point. I'm assuming I'll be the one with the stuff in my backpack or whatever.
It might
one
make
of
sense
us will
for
have.
Me to have
or
the
maybe
stuff
you because you're
not I'm
playing.
Not doing anything.
That's true. Okay, so maybe try to find the Midwest Scrub himself.
It's like a Where's Waldo.
Yeah.
At an Epicon. Yeah. Find the Midwest Scrum himself.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he should have
a shirt.
At least one day have a Midwest Scrum shirt on.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There will be one day where he has a shirt that says the Midwest Scrum himself on the back of it.
Yeah, yeah. So. So that might make him a little easier to find in the sea of faces.
Yeah.
But yeah, so find probably Dan.
Yeah. But if you find the other ones of us, we could point you to
we
Dan.
We could probably forward
you
to Dan, maybe, yeah.
It's like, I'll have my Midrash Scrub backpack I'll have every day, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I need to take that along, yeah.
That should make us easier to find as well, unless you find somebody that came to the last Scrub Down and got a Midwest Scrub backpack.
Uh-huh, that's true.
Oh,
that's
man.
True. Because there will be plenty of people at Worlds who went
there.
Bye bye. Yeah, bye bye.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, sure.
Bye bye.
All right. Okay, bye bye.
Hello, boyo.
Excuse me. It's back.
Are you brainless?
No, not really, no.
Your ability to speak does not make you intelligent. Don't do that again. Many Gungans will be killed.
Ah. The point is, we'll see.